Tonight I want to speak to you on a challenging lesson from the Psalms, Psalm 19. If you'd take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 19, I want us to look at the subject of empowered by the Word. Empowered by the Word. It's incredible the power contained in God's Word. Now, you wouldn't know that unless you're in it often enough. But the more consistent you are in God's Word, the more you realize the power of His Word. And there's never a time when you'll be more encouraged than in those crisis times. You're in the middle of a difficult situation. And it seems to me in those very times of crisis, when you're in that troubled time, that God uses His Word to just empower you to get beyond yourself, your situation, that crisis. I think most of you know what I'm talking about. There have been times in your life when it seemed like all the advice you were getting sounded right, but it didn't console your heart. And you know, it's wonderful to have a friend to encourage you. But have you ever gotten bad advice from a friend? Think about it. I've gotten bad advice from a friend. In fact, I've been a friend who's given bad advice. How about you? But you know, a friend doesn't give bad advice because they dislike you. You don't give bad advice to your friends because you want to harm them. You're trying to show your affection and care and love for them, and you're giving them the best advice you know how, but sometimes that advice is dead wrong. Of course, the only way you would know, if you're the one receiving the advice, the only way you would know that this was wrong is if you had the right thing sitting in front of you long enough for you to be able to distinguish the right from the wrong. In Psalm 19, we see a powerful picture of the empowerment of the Word. For some of you, it's been at a time when you sinned against God, and maybe you were all alone. Maybe you were driving down the road. Maybe you were in a hotel room on a business trip. There's nobody else there to console you, no friends, no family. And you're in the middle of a crisis, and you cry out to God, God, I don't know what to do. But I need your help desperately. Have you ever been there? Boy, if you haven't, I can share some experiences with you because I've been there. How critical at that moment when you're all alone and there's no one around to give you support, how critical is it at that moment that you're up to date with God? Well, it's very critical. Because God can empower you by the truth of His Word. Now, if you're out of fellowship with Him, what will happen is He will convict you with His Word. But here the psalmist is writing, and really in this Psalm 19, there are two books referred to. In verses 1 through 6, we see the book of creation. Many have asked the question, how do we know if a person who has never physically heard the gospel or seen a Bible or been in a worship service, how can they ever know that there is a God? Well, they first know through the book of creation. And that's what the psalmist talks about here. And then the second book that is talked about is the book of scriptures. And how it relates to us that will be what guides us daily as believers through this very week. I want to let you know, I don't know how discouraged you are or how much difficulty you're going through right now, or what kind of crisis you're facing, or how many family members have turned their back on you, or how many disgruntled employees you may have towards you. Whatever the crisis that is happening in your life is today, God is more than able to empower you by His Word to give you hope, to give you peace, to give you direction for what you need to do next. But if you're not careful, instead of being empowered by the Word, you'll turn to all the sources man has for wisdom, and you'll miss out on what God could have told you all along. Here in Psalm 19, he begins, "The heavens declare the glory of God." We sang about that tonight. "And the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge." Now you see this book of creation? He's talking about the creation of God, but how creation speaks very clearly. "There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the earth. In them He has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat." The radiant sun of God is displayed through the book of creation. You may never hear a sermon again, but if you never came into a church again, you would hear from God through creation. He speaks loudly and clearly through His works. But for those of us who are believers, Psalm 19, particularly verses 7 through 11, are most critical for us. He starts off saying, "The law of the Lord is what? Perfect." Do you believe that? You do believe that. These terms that the psalmist is about to use describe holiness, perfection, the most wonderful source of truth you could ever have. And to see what this truth does to the human heart is incredible. But we believe in our heads this law of God is perfect. Do we live it? That's critical, isn't it? Why is it that so many believers believe God's Word is infallible and true, perfect in every way, but they don't live by it? Has that ever happened to you? You are too quiet. See, God's Word is perfect, but the question is, what do you do with this perfect Word? The law is perfect, and he goes on to say, converting the soul. You see, the gospel is perfect. There is no fallacy in God's law, in His truth, in His gospel. Everything that pertains to life and godliness, He has given us through His Son, His Word. And that Word is what converts the soul. That gospel, that truth, that relationship with truth converts the soul. He says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure." Now, if you ever wonder, is this really so? Is God's Word really so? Then what you need to do is compare all of your wisdom and your ways to see if it's worked out your life perfectly. And you'll know that your ways and your thoughts don't match up with a perfect Word. And when you get your life in line with the perfect word, there is this converting of the soul. There is this understanding that the testimony of the Lord is sure. Whatever He says, He will do. You can bank on it. This week, no matter what difficulty comes your way, no matter what temptation or trial, God's testimony is sure. And what does it do? It makes wise the simple. Anybody here simple? I hope I am simple. I think most of us are simple. We communicate in simple ways, but yet God takes the simplicity of an individual, and by His word, His truth, when He converts the soul, He puts within us the law, the gospel, the Son of Jesus Christ, who is perfect, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives us direction, helping us see that the testimony of God is always sure. You can bank on it. Whatever the testimony of the Lord is, it will come to pass. God testifies of our sin. Does He not? Does God know your heart? Can He see what you're thinking right now? Can He see what you're troubled about? Can He see what you're worried about? Yes. But the good thing about God is that not only does He testify of our sin, He testifies His restoration to our hearts. He knows what you need. He knows how to restore you. He knows how to fulfill you. He knows how to bring you back to Him. It's not a question of what can God do. The question is, how will we to surrender to this holy, perfect God? Now, this book of scriptures that begins here in verse 7 brings us to the place that the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Understand that a doubted gospel cannot make you wise. You have to believe that the testimony of the Lord is sure. And out of that surety, that what God has said in His Word, you will become wise, because all of a sudden you will be so convinced that this is your way. This is your life. This is the truth. You'll become so convinced of the testimony of the Lord that what is contained in this book is sure, that it'll make even the simplest person wise. Have you ever met someone you said, boy, they're wise beyond their years? Well, where did that come from? I mean, they couldn't go to school any longer than you did. Where did their wisdom come from? Did it come because they just have this unbelievable intellectual ability to take everything that's practical in this world and all the information that's in this world and put it together so that they can think of everything wisely? No. Wisdom in the Scripture comes from God. But who does He give it to? Those that are sure that His testimony is pure and good and right. Well, the words of God are perfect. And if a person will read these words, they will revive the soul. I'll never forget a trip I was on a few years ago. I was leading a conference, actually preaching in a church just outside of Cleveland, Ohio. And it was cold, and I was there alone, and I'd been going through some great difficulty. And in fact, I'd had some people that knew me make some false accusations against me. Has that ever happened to you? You raise your hand. Those of you who didn't raise your hand, it will happen before you die. Okay? But these accusations came up and it just blindsided me. I just didn't see it coming. And I was deeply distressed. And, you know, there are times when you're distressed about something and you just plod on through life. You go through your schedule. You do everything you're supposed to do. And you try to ignore it a little bit and just tough it out and keep going. But it had worn me down. And I'll never forget. I went back, in fact, this afternoon. I looked at my quiet time notes of that very day outside of Cleveland, Ohio. I got on my knees in that hotel room and I said, "Oh God, I don't know what to do. I can't defend myself and I don't even want to. But I need encouragement in my soul. Lord, I need to know the joy that only you can bring." And I got up from my prayer time and I opened my Bible and I was reading in Matthew. It was right after Jesus had been tempted in the wilderness. Y'all remember the story? And Satan gave him his last opportunity. And you know what the Lord Jesus said to Satan? "Satan, don't you know that I am going to worship the Lord God and Him only will I serve?" You say, "Well, how does that apply to a situation when you've been falsely accused?" Let me tell you how. If you get your minds off yourself and you get your mind on serving Him and Him only, it refreshes the soul. And just in a moment, in spending time in God's Word, He empowered my life. Now that's what He's talking about here in this next verse. "The statutes of the Lord are right, doing what? Rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." You see, there's a progression here that's happening in verses 7 and 8. That person who is converted by God's truth is made wise. And then he's made happy. See, the truth which makes the heart right gives joy. Believers, you will never have true joy in your life when you're doing the wrong thing. It won't be there. But the statutes of the Lord are right. And if what He has told us to do are right, then should we not practice those? When you practice the statutes of the Lord, because they are right, they will make you right. They will convert your heart from sadness to joy. But I'll tell you when you won't be happy is when you're a believer doing what you know is wrong. Now I know this is a Sunday night crowd that, again, I've said to you before, I know most of y'all don't sin all week long, but Sunday morning group does that. Right? But we think of sin as those bad things you do. But did you know it is sin for a believer to not be experiencing the peace of God? It is sin for a believer not to be experiencing the joy of his salvation. You see, the fruit of the Spirit was given to us to experience those things. So if you're not experiencing them, you're falling short of what the gospel provided for you. The perfectness of the gospel. The statutes of the Lord are right. These things are good. And if you will follow as a believer what God has told you to do, it will rejoice the heart. It will refresh the heart. But he goes on to say, The commandment of the Lord is pure. It enlightens the eyes. I mean, the sun is a very bright thing to look at. If you look at the sun for very long without any clouds, what will it do to your eyes? It'll burn them. You'll go blind. Now, if you look at God, the perfect Son, Jesus, and stare right at Him, what will it do to you? It won't make you go blind. The sun will enlighten your eyes. And you'll begin to see things from a different perspective than you've ever seen before. If you'll take time to be empowered by His Word, He will give you everything you need that pertains to life and godliness. But it'll depend upon you spending time with Him so that your eyes will be enlightened. I wrote this down this afternoon. And it was kind of amazing to me because we could see the good and the bad of this. But you can see God in a person by the radiant power of Christ in their eyes. But if we had eyes like God, we would see ourselves differently. You know, many times you cannot see the truth of your own heart because you don't have God's perspective. Your eyes haven't been enlightened, and your eyes aren't enlightened because you're not following the commandments of the Lord. And if you were following the commandments of the Lord, you would be rejoicing, you'd be wanting to do whatever God's Word said, and through obeying His Word, enlightenment comes to the heart. Have you ever read a verse of Scripture 100 times, but you read it this morning and it just popped open to you and you saw a truth there you've never seen before? You know why? God was enlightening your eyes to see something you could never see before you went through all the other days of your life to that point. And because the depth of your relationship with Him had changed, out of that depth of relationship, He brought you to this point and He said, now I'm ready to enlighten you with another truth. That's so refreshing when God does that, isn't it? And it's a word He speaks through His Word and it just goes into your heart in such a way that, boy, you think about it all day long and maybe all week long. Look what God showed me in His Word here. There are other times when you read your Bible and you can't remember what you read for anything. In fact, the next morning when you get up to have your quiet time, you might forget where you left off. But those times when you're in tune with the Lord, you're unhurried in God's presence in your quiet time. And He refreshes your soul with a word. It's incredible how He can change you so quickly by enlightening your eyes. Well, verse 9. The fear of the Lord is clean. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The fear of the Lord, that's not a bad thing. The fear of the Lord cleanses out sin. If you have no fear of God, you'll have no fear of sin. If you have a low view of God, you'll have a low view of sin. And you'll not deal with it because the sin in your life, it's no big deal. I mean, you're not walking with Him. You're not staying in His perfect commandments. His statutes are not preserving you. Your eyes aren't enlightened because you're not depending on His Word. Let me tell you, the empowering work of God through His Word is incredible. It produces a fear of the Lord in you that cleanses. That cleans you. It cleanses out the sin. You see, filth brings decay. But cleanliness brings a fight against corruption. And when you have the right fear of God in your life, it brings a perfection, a cleansing that endures forever. And then the scripture says the judgments of the Lord are true and righteousness altogether. They're all true. They're all righteous. So why don't you just practice these? These will not bring you sorrow and sadness. To be empowered by God's word, to stay in it consistently, brings incredible life. Can you tell the days when you are not empowered by the word? Well, I can. I can tell in my life. We make our biggest errors. We say things we shouldn't say. We think things we shouldn't think. Why? Because that powerful word is not there cleansing us. It's not there helping us to stay in right relationship with Him. We started the day so busy we had no time for Him. And the next thing you know, it feels as though God has no time for us. But look at verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, that is God's word. Yea, than much fine gold. He reemphasizes it. And then he says, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Education for a Jewish boy was an interesting thing back in these days. By age 12, they had to memorize what we know as the first five books of the Bible. We're not talking about choose any translation you want. If you ever try to memorize scripture and you try to read three or four versions so that when you say it, nobody will know if you got it right or not? Now, they didn't have that opportunity. It was word perfect by age 12. But one of the ways they learned, they would take a piece of slate and they would write words in the Hebrew in honey. And they would ask them to define it, to show their understanding of it. And if they were correct, they got to lick the slate clean. And those words were honey to them. Now that's the way it should be for you and I. This should not be a drudgery for you to spend time in God's word. It should be your life. This is how believers are empowered, by His word. Not your thoughts about the word, His word. And I'll never forget that day in Cleveland, Ohio, when I cried out to God, God, I need something from You in Your word to encourage me. And He took all my focus away. He said, Kerry, your problem is you're not denying self here. Doesn't matter whether you've been offended or not. Look at you. You're living defeated. And He gave me that word. If Jesus would say to Satan, Satan, don't you know that I'm only going to worship the Lord God and only Him will I serve? Do you know what the next verse is? Jesus got word that John the Baptist had been killed. Boy, we need to run to his funeral, don't we? Jesus never got off course. Why? God had just empowered him to stay on course with the direction He had given him. And He said, now, by this word, you do what comes next. And He didn't go and check on John the Baptist. He went to the next region that God had assigned, just as we learned about this morning. He stayed on assignment with God. He stayed with the will of God. And why was he encouraged to do that? He was empowered by the very work and word of his Father. This week, do you need to be empowered by God's word? Now, if you're not careful, you'll start off really good and you'll be empowered Monday and Tuesday. But by Wednesday, you got so busy you didn't have time for the word. Understand, if that happens, you'll probably start losing your joy and your peace and wisdom. And all of a sudden, it's not simple anymore, it's complicated. Because you can't see with the right enlightened eyes. That'll show you the truth and what to do next and how to deal with the issues of life.